The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for tonight's message is from Isaiah, the 59th chapter, beginning of verse 12. "For our offenses are many in your sight, and our sins testify against us. Our offenses are ever with us, and we acknowledge our iniquities, rebellion and treachery against the Lord, turning our backs on our God, fomenting oppression and revolt, uttering lies our hearts have conceived. So justice is driven back, and righteousness stands at a distance. Truth has stumbled in the streets. Honesty cannot enter. Truth is nowhere to be found, and whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on the righteousness as his breastplate, and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. According to what they have done, so he will repay wrath to his enemies and retribution to his foes. He will repay the islands their due. From the west, men will fear the name of the Lord, and from the rising of the sun, they will revere his glory. For he will come like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord." There was a book a number of years ago called Memento Mori. What an odd name for a book. But the premise of the book was this anonymous caller called up several people, didn't know each other, and the only thing this anonymous caller said is, "Remember, you must die." Imagine getting a call like that. Well, as the book unfolds then, each one of these people react in different ways and come up with different answers. But all of them think back over their lives in general. They thought of all the good things they had done and all the bad things. And then finally at the end, they each got to come up with their meaning to life. Well, in a sense, Lent's kind of the same as the premise of that book. Instead of from life to death, as the book went, this goes from death to life. Tonight we focus on the sign of the cross. The cross reminds us, by the way, of our own mortality, because we should have suffered death far worse than what the cross would have been. The cross also reminds us of the long journey that Christ took to that final objective at Calvary. Then after his death, life is brought to the world, to all people. We have the ashes then here too. And in the Old Testament, ashes were seen as, you put them on your hair. Oh, I can just imagine the women back then. Oh, this is going to dirty my dress. Maybe I should not be making those jokes. All right. It was seen as a sign of humility. It was seen as a sign of mortality. It could also be done for fasting or for great sorrow. In a sense, we are those ashes. And I got to tell this one. Do you know why I don't dust? Because I might be sweeping up a friend. And in our house, we have many friends. I need ashes right now. But the ashes remind us, before we become like those ashes, long before that, we better be thinking of repentance. Just to give you a brief history on the putting on the ashes on the forehead, didn't really begin the church until about the 6th or 7th century. And one of the things I love about the Lutheran church is so much that we do has symbolism. Remember, there's about 3 points in a person's life. One's repeated many times, and the other one are just one-time events. But there's 3 times in a person's life when the sign of the cross is made directly on them by somebody else. First one's at their baptism. And one of the lines I love in the baptismal liturgy is, receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon the forehead and upon the heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Ash Wednesday, this is the one we do many times throughout our lives. We have the ashes then put on our forehead. And the very last time, and it's usually only done once, doesn't seem to be as big of a tradition anymore, but at a funeral, right at the gravesite, pastors were given a vial of soil from that grave, and the sign of the cross was made by pouring the dirt out. Again, reminding that salvation is because of what Christ did on the cross. Now, if you remember our second hymn, the reason we have 40 days of Lent, oh, by the way, when we count the 40 days, we don't count Sundays. Because what happened on a Sunday? Pardon? Easter. Oh. Yes, he rested too. I was afraid my son would say, football. Yes, Larry, it's the day he rested, but it's also especially the Sundays in the Lenten season are kind of like mini Easters. We're looking forward to that big event on Easter Sunday. As I said, one of the things I love about being a Lutheran is all the symbolism. The purple that is up here on the altar and the stole that I'm wearing, it's always been a sign of repentance. And I think guys should repent if they wear purple because it's too close to pink. But that's another day. Purple is seen as a sign of repentance. Why is purple the sign of repentance? When did Christ wear purple? Think back through the Holy Week. Pontius Pilate? Yeah, when he got whipped and scourged, the soldiers put a purple robe on him. That's why we have purple for the Lenten season. To remind us of that event, his suffering. Lent is also a time when we evaluate ourselves in comparison to the Word of God. Isaiah writes, our offenses are many in your sight, and our sins testify against us. You know, if we tried, even for, say, an hour period, to list all the sins in thought, word, and deed, wouldn't that list almost be infinite? Now imagine if you had to stand before the Lord God Almighty Himself as judge, and one sin can condemn you. See, our sins are always before us because we know what we've done. We know what we thought. See, that's the part that always gets me. Thinking is the same as a sin. Oh, the things that I have done. As I said, we don't want to face God. Isaiah continues, our offenses are ever with us. We acknowledge our iniquities. And when we look inward, and that's really what Lent is the looking inward of who we really are. That's why it's a somber period, because if we're honest with ourselves, we're not going to say, you know, I didn't do a thing wrong today. Well, you did just by saying that, because that's a lie. But we look inward. We see what's wrong, what needs to be changed, what needs to be fixed, what needs to be gotten rid of in our life, those little idols that we make so important. Isaiah lists some things that he sees wrong: rebellion and treachery against the Lord, turning our backs on God, fomenting oppression and revolt, uttering lies our hearts have conceived. So have you ever asked this question? Where am I not so Christian in my life? What kind of a person am I really? Kind of meaning this. Would you really want somebody to write down all the things you have thought? I sure don't. Especially that question, what do you think of the stress? I am just in rare form tonight. You know, am I always really loving to somebody? Do I really show that in all my actions and words? Am I really patient? Just don't have the time for it, Lord. Do I really need God more than anything else in my life? Well, am I willing to make sacrifices for Him? When we really look at those questions, there's some answers that we don't really like coming back. And the first part of repentance is looking inwardly. The second part of repentance is why we will not have any issue facing the Lord God Almighty as judge, not because I've cleaned up my life and made it right, but because of what Christ has done for each and every one of us. Isaiah writes, the Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. Imagine God looking at His creation, which had been absolutely perfect. No sins. We have no idea what that's like. None. But God did. He created it perfect. And then look what people and sin have done to this world, and He looks back. I don't really think there's an equivalent to that, picturing something so perfect and then seeing it destroyed. He realizes there's nobody, no one, to intervene on behalf of the human race except Him. Christ comes to battle Satan, and it's not a hyperbole to say literally for our souls. Because Satan, which means the accuser, he could stand before God Almighty and say, according to your holy law, this individual standing before you, all he'd have to do is list one. All he would have to do is list one, and then without Christ, the judgment is eternity with Him. Christ says, no, that person's in eternity because of me. It's a battle for the control of the souls of people. I mean, he's got some tough words for those who will not repent. He will repay wrath to his enemies and retribution to his foes. He will repay the islands their due. It's kind of interesting. He uses a picture of an island for people. I kind of looked it up, tried to figure out why that term was used, and basically everybody I read said, I don't know. But the message is still the same. Those who don't repent really don't have a bright future. But what about those who do repent? Those who do look to Christ for forgiveness. Well, Isaiah says the Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. If you want to look at Lent, it's kind of like the spring cleaning of the souls. I said that's when we kind of look inwardly and realize what we have done. We also see the forgiveness that Christ won for us on that cross. And the last part of repentance is turning away or stopping that sin. That's a difficult one. Don't we all have those little pet sins that we really don't mind doing? See, nobody better not. Well, if you did, it would all be, yeah. I got a few pet sins. But repentance says you got to look at those and say, no, I'm not going to do those because I am sorry for what I've done. Give you a suggestion how to get ready for Holy Week. During the next 40 days of Lent, each day just read a half of chapter of the Gospel of John. Because John spends a tremendous amount of his Gospel talking about the final week in Christ's life. But as you read through it, just half a chapter a day, it will, by the way, will take you the 40 days of Lent to complete the entire Gospel of John because there's 20 chapters. See how that works? I can do some math, Dad, really. But when you're reading it, yeah, think about our sins. But rejoice in Christ's forgiveness. Pray to overcome the temptations in life. And always make repentance your life. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.